I want to show you today in the Word of God an example of someone who did something small, but it had a great effect, a great effect. And the reason why I want to ask you that is because I want to get you to start to think in a practical way. How many know that we're blessed when we hear the Word of God, because that's a start. But really, if we're going to walk in the blessings of God, we have to be proactive to what?
Do it.
We have to do it. That's when the rubber meets the road. So let's turn to John chapter 6, and I'm of course reading out of the New King James. And let's start with verse 1, and let me just read you a story that many of you know. I love doing stories that we know, but do me a favor. When we start to read this story, don't automatically say, oh, I know this. I already know this already, okay? Because if you do, you will catch something. I saw The Shack.
Yeah.
You want to go see a good movie?
The Shack.
You know what? And how many know there's not a lot of good movies for you to watch? So when a good movie comes out, please. The Shack is an awesome movie. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay? And it is an awesome movie. But there's things that we will catch, and I'm going to go see The Shack again.
Yeah.
Why am I going to see it again? Because I want to catch some more stuff. Yes. I know it will be, well, that's like this story. This is a story, and if you'll come to it fresh, you'll learn a lot. So, John chapter 6, starting with verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which was the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. How many know God is our healer? How many know when you saw Jesus, you saw God?
Yeah.
How many know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Amen.
Yeah, but the doctor said, I know what the doctor said, but I know what Jesus said, and I know what the Bible says. Look what it says. And great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. There were people, what's disease? Disease is you have a dis-ease. That's what it is. And God says, I want to take the dis out of the disease. I just want you to have ease. And that's what Jesus did. And that's what he does. Because that's who he is. God is the healer. He is our healer. Verse 3, and Jesus went on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing the multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Great example. When Jesus asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He's trying to get Philip to think a different way. But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone might have a little. 200 denarii was over half a year's wage. Over half a year's wages. And Philip is like, man, that doesn't even make sense. 200 denarii wouldn't even get these people fed even a little bit. Look at verse 8. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Why? Well, somebody's got some food. Okay. How many know when you spread that food out to everyone, that's not a good deal, right? But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now, there was much grass in that place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as many as they wanted. So when they were filled, who's the they? The 5,000. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up in 12 baskets and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet which is come into the world. Amen. Okay. Jesus left the world, but he sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us and to tell us and let us know what's going on. This is the one who can take, listen to me, something that you do that's small and make it grand. Could something that you did, could it made a difference? Was there one young man, one boy, who was willing, everybody say willing, to give up his lunch in order to make a huge difference? Could one boy make a huge difference? Could one boy, one young man, willing to give up his lunch, could that one thing feed 5,000 people? Well, absolutely. We know the answer is that's absolutely true. But I want to go over this systematically, this story with you, and just point out some things that will become very obvious to us. The first thing I want you to see and get and catch and understand is this. A seed is only significant if it is sown. A seed is only significant if it is sown. This young man had an opportunity to affect 5,000 people. That was just the men. So when you add the women and the children, there was probably well over 10,000 people that his little sack lunch fed. But why was it fed? Why did that happen? See, many times we sit there and we scratch our head and we do the same thing that so many people have done in the past, and we look at our lives and we look at the cities around us. We look at the city that we live in. We look at our family, we look at our communities, we look at our parks, we look at things around us, and we scratch our head and say, man, America is going to pot, you know what I mean? We're going to hell in a handbasket, you know what I mean? We're like, man, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. And I'm not saying that a lot of those statements aren't true. I'm just saying, you know what? What in the world? How does that help anything? See, how does complaining about it help anything? It really doesn't help anything. And what God wants to say is he wants to say, look, understand you were empowered to make a difference, but that seed, if it's not sown, it doesn't do any good. Guys, show me that picture of that the big redwood. Show me the picture of the big. No, first show me this. Is that incredible? I mean, these trees are humongous. You know what? Some of these trees, you can drive a car through them. They're just huge. But here's what I want you to catch. Look at this. Show them how big the seed is. Those are the seeds. See, something small can have a huge ramification. But listen, these seeds don't do anybody any good. The reason why probably over 10,000 people got fed is because this young man had a willingness to give up his lunch. A willingness to give up his lunch. See, the seed is only effective when it's put in the right environment, when it's put in that ground, when it's put in the soil. There are situations in your life, and you have the ability to not only affect your life, but to affect other people around you. But nothing will happen when you complain about it. Nothing will happen. You know what I mean? I mean, everybody, you know what? You know, I don't know who was back there. You know what? Joe and Fred and Sam and Sally and Frank and a bunch of other names that we can't even pronounce. You know what I mean? But they could all look at each other and say, man, what are we going to do? 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 But some little boy said, well, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give my lunch to Jesus.
Oh, come on,
is that not right?
Come on,
I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give. I have a willingness. I have a opportunity to give my life to Jesus. Now, here's, I got a question for you. And I just want to ask. Is two small fish and five barley loaves, here's my question, is that a lot or is that a little? Two small fish, five probably very small little loaves of, you know what I mean, little loaves, mom packed it. Is that a lot or is that a little? You know what I hear? I hear all kinds of people. You know what I mean? I hear grande, I hear poquito, I hear small, I hear no, that's a lot, no, that's a little, you know what I mean? All this stuff. Okay, well, who's right? You're all right. Because let me tell you about that small little sack lunch. It was a little, and it was a lot. Watch this. One small little lunch. It was a little when it wasn't sown. That small lunch could only feed, not sown, one little boy. And how many know if that kid was maybe 12, let's say he was 12, we don't know how old he was, because the Bible doesn't tell us, but this lad, let's pretend he was 12, how many know a 12-year-old could gobble down five, you know, little, small little fish and or two small little fish and five loaves of bread like that. Amen. Remember, my son eats a lot. He still eats a lot. I remember going to Burger King or Burger King with my son or Jack in the Box with my son. And I remember when he was 12 and this is what he said, Dad, all I want is two chicken sandwiches, two cheeseburgers, and one small fry.
Nice.
I'm thinking, Tai Tai, that's all you want? You mean? Just two chicken sandwiches, a large Coke or a shake. Two chicken sandwiches, two burgers, and a small fry. Is that all you want? And how many know that 12-year-old, he wasn't exaggerating. He wasn't getting some extra food for later on. That's what he was eating. See, listen, is that small or is it large? No, let me tell you what. That was small. If it's not sown. If it remains in his hands, that he could gobble it down, no problem. You know what? That one little lunch, you know what? It only feeds one. It's only a, not sown, it's only a times one. But watch this. Is that small little lunch, is it a lot or is it little? It's both. If it's not sown, it's a little. If it's sown, what is it? What happened? It's huge. That one sack lunch that was given to Jesus, what does it feed? It feeds them all. It feeds them all. It feeds them all as much as they want. And there's 12 baskets recovered when it's done. How many know that's a lot? Watch this. And, everybody say and. And now every single one, particularly the apostles, who Jesus, I believed, on purpose, had to pick that stuff up. You know what? And what's that telling them in their mind? They're picking it up, filling in those baskets. I mean, we don't know. Those baskets could have been humongous. And as they're picking up and filling up those baskets, you know what? How many know that that was a huge, what's God trying to do? He's trying to break their mindset of God can't do miracles. How many know their perception, their stereotype of God can't becomes God can? How does their this is too hard become later on? How many know the Bible says that all these supernatural signs were done by the hands of the apostles? You think that's coincidental? No. They remembered. How many know you'd remember this story? How many know if you went to the park one day and you know what, and you've picked up 12 baskets full and you know that came from just that one lunch, how many know you would never forget that? Was it a lot or a little? It was huge when he sowed it. It was huge when he let go of it. Number two, please understand this. Number two, the miracle only starts to happen because the boy was willing to let go of his lunch. If this boy doesn't let go of his lunch, how many know this miracle doesn't happen? Amen. I didn't get a big amen on that one. And let me tell you why we don't get a big amen on that one. Because of false theology. See, we think that whatever God wants, he does. And I could say it like that, and many of you would say, amen, amen, amen. No, not amen. There's all kinds of things that God wants to happen on this earth that are not happening. Amen. Because of a lack of giving. You know, the poor could be fed. You know, we could do a lot if we were willing to give with a happy, hilarious heart. The miracle only starts when you're willing to let go. Write that down. The miracle only starts when you're willing to let go. Look at Peter. Peter says, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come. Well, Peter kind of sets Jesus up. Listen to me very carefully. God intends and wants your life to be a life that is happening in the supernatural. He never intends for you to live a life that's not supernatural. Now, we don't understand that because most of us have not, many of us have not put ourselves under the anointed teaching of God where we would hear stories and the supernatural stories all the time. I did. My parents did. When I was little, we went to Sunday school. You know what? Then after Sunday school, you know what? I ran over here. Some of you are old enough to remember. Remember when Pioneer Chicken was over here? Remember that donut shop over there? Come on, somebody give me a shout out. And I would run over there and I would get some donuts and I would gobble them up and come back. But we'd go to Sunday school, then we'd go to church, and then that night we'd have church service at 6 o'clock, we'd have night service, and Wednesday we'd go to church. You know what I mean? You know, you've heard this before. When I grew up, I had a drug problem. You know what? My parents always drug me to church. But listen, there was something really, really good about sitting myself under the anointed teaching of, I'm going to say it, of the man of God that God had put in my life. Amen. I'm going to say this because somebody needs to hear this. We think that we can just go to whatever church we want to go to. We think we can go to whatever church we want to go to. Listen to me. Whenever we want to go to that church. Listen to me. This series, you cannot afford to miss one sermon. The series that I'm teaching on James, you cannot afford to miss one one. Yeah, but I had, listen, the desire that we have for God has got to be, wait, you know what John says? John says, don't love the world or the things of the world. In our Christian community, we have got way too comfortable. Our Christianity has just become too just like casual. It's like, ah, I'm cool. You're cool. You know what I mean? It's all cool. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like God loves me. You know what? And like, you know what? See, you're like, oh, that was, I don't know. No, no, that's what it is. And so when we're like, hey, what is that about? Like, dude, don't judge me, man. That's how I roll, man. That's how I roll. You know what? I mean, it's, you know what? This is medicine, dude. It's medicine. Medicine. You know what? You know what? You know, listen, can I preach to somebody? And the world is telling us that. We have to, you know what? Wake up and go, what? This is craziness. You know what? But the same mentality that says this is medicine, says I can show up to church whenever it's convenient for me to show up to church. And what I'm saying is, listen, the word is the medicine. And what you need to understand, and this is hard for me to say, but I'm going to say it because somebody's going to hear me, and this is going to be really helpful to somebody. Listen, I know, with all my imperfections and all this stuff, and even like I just graduated, you know what, from Pioneer High School, all that, let me tell you what, it doesn't change that God has selected me as your pastor to speak into your life, and this casualness of, dude, I just do it whenever I feel like it, whenever I roll in there, man, that's how when I roll in. And I'm telling you what, it is gobbledygook, junk, trash that will not help you in your progression. Listen, you want to grow up and you want to live a good life, then make good choices. And understand that the design that God has is for you to come right here. He is the one who designs, and he says, you know what, he is the great shepherd, but he, Jesus, is the one who anoints and calls pastors, according to Ephesians. And those pastors are meant as a, see, and I'm just telling you stuff that, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know, it's like, you know, I'm pastor, I hear from God, I don't need, you know what, it's just foolishness. It's just foolishness. I talked to somebody this week, and you know what? He's, oh, you know what? Heard me speak at a conference, and made an appointment with him, and we're talking, and he's talking about how much he, you know what, loves Jesus and all this stuff, and you know what, and all this stuff. And then I'm like, oh, what do I know? You know what I mean? I just think this is a question. I said, what church you go to? Now here's what he said. What church do I go to? And right away I knew. Oh, you don't go to church. And he was honest and he said, when I go to church, yada, yada, yada. I'm just telling you. And some of you, you know what? You never heard this kind of teaching before. Well, read your Bibles. You know why the book of Acts, you know why things were happening to the degree that they were happening in the book of Acts? You think it's coincidental? Read it. Look. No. They sat under the apostles' teachings. What were the apostles' teachings? The apostles' teachings, all the apostles taught was what Jesus taught them. Amen. They were just teaching the Bible. That's all they were doing. All I'm saying is, listen to me. You're not in this thing alone. Tamara and I are with here. We are your pastors. We're here to love you and to care for you and to teach you and to train you. This is a training center. And for anyone who'll be willing to sit underneath, you know what, and come and partner and understand, oh my goodness, that is my church and those are my pastors. And you know what, if you come Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday and Wednesday, Sunday and Wednesday for 1 year, your life will be crazy changed for the positive. Please understand this. You are not alone. But the things in your life, listen to me very carefully, you've got to have a willingness to let go of things. And if you will not let go of that, you know what? Some of you have been smoking dope for 20 years, for 30 years. If you're not willing to, some of you have been drinking for 20 and 30 years. Some of you have been, you know what, sexing up for 20 and 30 years. What's sexing up? You know what sexing up is. I don't even know what you're talking about, Pastor. You know what I'm talking about. And you've been doing that stuff, and you've been, or watch this, or you've been complaining for 30 years, for 20 years, for 15 years. You know what? You're just a complainer. And can I tell you what? You have to have a willingness. Yeah, but she, but he, but you, but nothing, but love you, but be quiet. Have a willingness to let it go. And you become so angry and so embittered. Listen, bitterness will ruin your life. And it will infect relationships that you have, and it will ruin those relationships. And you'll be the whole time, and you know what? It's like, you know, the whole time, can I love somebody tonight? I'm asking, can I love somebody today? And the whole time, you know what? You're walking around thinking, everybody stinks. Everybody stinks. Everybody stinks. And here's the truth is, you stink. Come on. And the reason why you think everybody stinks is because you can't get away from you. Right? Hello? That complaining, it stinks. And it's infecting relationships that you have. And God says, no, be free of that. Yeah, but I've done it for so long. I know, but you have to let go. Because let me tell you what, the miracle doesn't start until you have a willingness to let go. The miracle. Why did this miracle? Here, let me tell you. Because that young man was willing to let go. Why does Peter walk on the water? Here's why he walked in the water. Because he had a willingness to let go. Amen. Why does the woman with an issue of blood, why does she walk after 12 years of going to doctors and getting no better? Why in the world is there one day that she's healed, her blood dries up, that problem she's had for 12 years is rectified in one day? How come that happens? Here's why. Because she has a willingness to let go of ramifications and all the people who would tell her, you can't be around here, you can't, you're unclean, you're unclean, you're unclean. And she had a willingness to say, I'm gonna press through and I'm gonna touch the hem of his garment. She had a willingness to let go of all the preconceived things of what she could and what she couldn't do. How come the blind man, how come he sees? Here's why, because he had the willingness to let go of something that said, it's impossible for you to be healed of a blindness. It's impossible. He had the willingness to say, no, I ain't going to listen to y'all. I don't care. You tell me to shut up. I ain't going to shut up. I'm going to see louder. Shut up, David. I will not be, I'm going to get out, I'm going to let go of a preconceived notion of I can't, and I'm going to get healed today, and I'm going to be so bold that when Jesus asks me what I need, I'm going to have the tenacity to say, let me tell you what I need. I'm going to need to be healed today. I want to see. Are you getting this? How come Lazarus was raised? See, we don't say, because of God. Right? We'll read the story. How come Lazarus was raised from the dead? Because when Mary said, Jesus, are you crazy? This plan isn't a good plan. We can't do this. He'd been dead for 4 days. You want to unroll that? It's going to be yuck, man. He stinks. Because she said that. Jesus said, roll away the stone. And somebody in the audience said, well, I don't know, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what Jesus said. I'm rolling away this stone. Amen. Amen. See, I got a question. Here's what I want to know. With all 10,000 people, you want to tell me 10,000 people that somebody else didn't have some food? Is that what you're going to tell me? I don't believe that. You know what I believe? You ever been on a plane? And you could, and you sit down on the plane, and it's kind of cool because there's nobody here and there's nobody there, and you're like, I'm going to check it out. I'm going to kick back. I'm going to have a good flight. And there's people that are coming on the plane. And I'm just asking, what you thinking? See, thank you for your honesty. You're thinking, man, do not sit your hiney hole next to me. Can we say hiney hole? Come on, I mean, who are the little midgets in that song? Who are those guys? Seven dwarfs. 12 apostles. Oh, sorry. Seven dwarfs. They said hiney ho, didn't they? Oh, no, they said hi ho. Sorry. Hiney ho, hi ho. It's all the same. Okay, anyway, moving on. You're thinking, man, don't sit your hi ho next to me, aren't you? Okay, because I'm just asking, with 10,000, probably over, well over 10,000 people, how many of you think there were some of you, some people there, and they just kind of sat on their lunch for a little while? Because they thought, I tell you what, a squish sandwich is better than a no sandwich. And what I'm going to do is I'm gonna sit on this because I want all of this. Can I tell you what? The miracle only started because someone was willing to give up their lunch. I'm just saying. What do you think that boy did when he got home? Brothers and sisters around, what'd you do today? Tell you what. Me and Jesus fed 10,000 people today. Right? See, here's what I'm saying. And I'm being very direct. Are you willing? Will you have a willingness? Will you put your trust in God? And please understand this. Please understand this. Because that young man lost his lunch for a little bit to then get his lunch back. And when he got it back, it was all you could eat. You ask any 12-year-old, you want a lunch your mom made? Or you want me to take you over and we have Shakey's all-you-can-eat bunch of lunch? You ask any 12-year-old, they're going to tell you, let me think for a second. Bunch of lunch. And give me bring on the mojos. Here's all I'm saying. Guys, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. This is so important. Please understand. Well, Pastor, what is God saying? Here's what God is speaking to you. God is speaking to all of us. As a body, I told you last week, who do you think it's going to be up to build this outdoor, you know what, fellowship? Well, you know what, if some rich guy would come by and write a check. No, can I tell you what? You're in the audience. This is our community. Could we just be willing? And you say, well, Pastor, but you're asking for 300 people to give $1,000. That's not a lunch. Well, I'm just asking. You know how much a lunch means to a 12-year-old? Yeah, 14-year-old says $1,000. I'm telling you, you ever been around teenagers? Food is a big deal. Amen. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I'm just saying, it's easy for us to go, oh, that's easy. No, but that's easy, but what you're asking is hard. $1,000, that's hard. I'm just asking. I'm just saying. Maybe the miracle that you're looking for is right in your hand. But let me tell you what, that seed that is not sown Doesn't produce anything. And then finally, and I'll close with this. And finally, my last point is this. God, oh, I'm sorry. Let me go to just a scripture real fast. Let me go to Romans chapter 8. Because I want to show you something in Romans chapter 8. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear. Oh, but if I won't have it. That's not the spirit that you've received. See, there is a spirit of withholding, but that's not the spirit that you've received. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear. See, that's an old mentality. That's an old paradigm. God doesn't, but watch this. And what's that fear about? If I do this, you know what it's a fear? It's a fear that says, I can't trust God. I am on my own. I have to figure out my finances. I have to do it all. I'm by myself. No, that's not the spirit. Watch this. It's so powerful. You know what? And I never got this scripture till I read this scripture. I'm not saying that I didn't read it, but sometimes you need to read it and see what it's really saying. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received a spirit. What kind of spirit did you receive? That's the key right there. You received a spirit of what? Adoption. Why does somebody need to be adopted? This is deep. Why does somebody need to be adopted? Because they don't have no parents. You received a spirit of adoption. And when you received a spirit to adoption, who's your father? You're adopted to whose family? My God shall supply. My God shall supply all my need. Why? Because you have not been given a spirit of fear, but you have been adopted in the family of God. Now God is your provider. Now God is the one who's going to take care of you. And because now God's going to take care of you, you don't have to, watch this. Let's say this is lunch. You haven't been given the spirit of fear. It's a withholding spirit. It's a, I got to take care of myself. I'm alone. I'm by myself. I have no parents. I have nobody to provide for me. I have nobody to take care of me. That is not the spirit that you've been given. You've been given a spirit of, come on. You've been given the spirit of what? Adoption. You're in the family of God. You're like, you want it? Have it. Amen? Which I don't know. Here, you want it? You got it. Amen? Right? Why? It's, watch this. It's easy for you to give. It ought to be so easy. And let me tell you why. Because, you know, if you come over and say, hey, pastor, can you give me some lemons? I'm going to go, pfft. Lemons? And here's what I'm going to do. Why am I so easy? Why am I such a lemon giver? Watch this. I am a lemon giver. I give lemons. Freely. You know why I'm a lemon giver? Because I go out. I don't go to the store and pay, you know what, $8 for two lemons or whatever lemons cost. How many know fruit can be very expensive? I don't do any of that. I just go outside, go to my lemon tree. How many, you want 8 lemons? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And I give you the lemons. See, can I tell you the deal? The deal is, you don't understand. You've been given spirit. You, not a fear, but a freedom. Freely you have received, freely give. Amen. The reason why it's so easy for me to give lemons is because I have an endless source of lemons. Yeah. I mean, this tree fills up, and I turn around, and it's filled again. Matter of fact, this tree is such an awesome tree that it got so many lemons that it tipped over one day. Amen. And I was like, oh, my lemon tree. And I picked it up. I picked a bunch of off. I picked it up, and I stuck a big bat there or something, you know what I mean? And I nourished it and loved it because I didn't want my lemon tree to be broken. You know why? You know why? Because I'm a lemon giver. All I'm saying is, guys, listen. You haven't been given a spirit of fear. So don't walk in fear. Because God will supply your needs according to his riches and glory. When you understand that, now it's free to give. You're free to give. You don't have to fear that you're not going to have enough. Because his provision, Jesus said it like this, give and it will come back to you. Do you understand that? Jesus said that. And you want to argue with who? Trust me. I know how this works. The miracle doesn't start till you get out of the boat. The miracle doesn't start till you let go of the bag. And you want to see it all before you give it. And you got it messed up. That's a spirit of fear. You have to see it first. God says, that's not the system. I roll with that. I want you to let go of the boat, knowing that I said you can walk on the water. And stop. Override, lest lean not into your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all your ways. Then he'll give you the desires of your heart. Last but not least, God intends for us to be grateful. It's a spirit of gratitude. You know what? Be anxious for nothing, but everything with prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. God, help me. I want to be a giver. I want to be one of the ones who gives $1,000. I want to be one of the 300. I want to be one of 300. And maybe I can't do it all at once. But maybe if I could do $250 a month in 4 months, that'd be $1,000. And in your mind, you're like, oh, you can't do that. And here's what you know. You know what? You can do that. Yeah, but it would be, God hasn't called you to live in comfortableness. T.D. Jakes said this, I become uncomfortable with comfortable. If all you're living in life is if trying to be comfortable, that's not a Christian life. Because I notice God pushes me out of my comfort zones all the time. He pushes me to forgive. He pushes me to be a giver. He pushes me to do all kinds of things that I don't feel comfortable at first. But after he pushes me there, I'm like, yeah, this is nice. Did you learn something today? Oh, yeah. Huh?
I need a microphone. I don't have a fancy
one. Oh, I'm sorry. See, before I didn't have this, I would always preach like this, and then I would give my wife the mic. But now I have to remember she doesn't have a mic.
All right. did you still want me to share about the ring? Because you didn't say anything, so I wasn't sure. Okay, so I just want to share. Pastor Drew was spending some time with his father the other day, and they were listening to some teachings on Discover Hope. And he said, hey, my dad heard your testimony about that ring again. And he said he was just so blessed. And he said, that's perfect because I want you to share it with a congregation of what I'm talking about this week. So some of you know this and some of you don't. So here we go again. This was back in the day when we were children's pastors. And I went to a Sunday evening service. We had Sunday evening service at our church. And I was sitting at Sunday evening service just waiting for service to begin. And a young lady came in and she sat next to me. I had no idea who she was. But I greeted her and said hello. And she said hello to me. And we were just enjoying the music and kind of waiting for service to start. And as I was sitting there, she looked down at my hand and then she said, oh, that ring is so beautiful. And I had a little ring. It was not an expensive ring. It was real gold. It was had a nice thick band to it. I loved this ring because it was very unique. It had little black etchings in it and then it had just a little diamond chip in the middle. And that ring had been given to me as a gift. And I'd had it for years. And so I'm sitting there with that ring, and I love that ring. And she said, oh, that's really pretty. And I said, oh, thank you. It is. I love this ring. And And then we began, service began, and we began worshiping. And as I began to worship, the Lord said, give her the ring. I'm like, it's my ring, Lord. And he said, I want you to give her that ring. I said, but I like it. I mean, it was unique. You know what I'm saying? I liked my ring. And he said, I want you to give her the ring. And so we did praise and worship, and we got into teaching, and we did teaching, and I'm just sitting there thinking, and so end of service came, and I just said, what was your name again? And she told me what her name was, and I said, you know, I want you to have this ring, and I handed her the ring, and she lost it. And I said, she said, oh, no, I couldn't. And I said, no, I really want you to have this ring. And she said, that's not what I meant when I said that I liked it. I said, I know that. I know that. I said, but to be honest with you, God told me to give you this ring, and I need you to take the ring. And then, as much as she had lost it, she really lost it. And so we just sat there together for a little while as she kind of got it together. And then she said to me, she said, I can't believe that you've given me this ring. And she said, here's what had happened that day. Her mother had just recently passed away. And she didn't have a real good relationship with her father. But in her mother's passing, there's one thing that she wanted. She just wanted her mother's ring. And she said, you know what, can I have her ring? And her father would not give her the ring. And she was just devastated. First of all, she hadn't had a good relationship with her father. He was not a good father to her. And she was in time with the Lord all day that day, just grieving. You know what, that of the relationship that she had with her father and how hurtful that was to her, that he would not give her the ring. And she said, do you see what God did? Who is her father? He'll give her anything, won't he? I mean, it's all his, and he'll give it all to her. And that ring is important as it, I liked that ring a lot. After I heard how much that ring meant to her and what it meant to her, it meant nothing to me. Do you understand? It was a little thing. It seemed like a big thing initially, but it was a very little thing. If you look at the scope of my life, I haven't missed a beat not having that ring. But her having that ring represented so much more. It was like that was her heavenly father just letting her know, listen, I am your father, and I'll give you anything, and you mean everything to me. And it just was a beautiful, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the moment, what it taught me of how much I liked that ring and how much I really didn't want to give it. You know what I mean? But then the minute I gave it, it meant nothing to me. And what was going on in her life just meant everything. It was just like, wow, God, you are so cool. You know, we could do this all day long. Amen? So it's just a very, very, very good example of how just something little can just be big in others' lives. So, okay, that's going to conclude our service.